Good. Good morning. I have an announcement first. Seniors, you know who you are. Cap and gown, Ingram, second floor, noon today. And speaking of seniors, anybody have any plans for what they're going to do this summer after you graduate? You got plans? Those of you who are approaching retirement, you have plans for retirement. Do you have plans for today? What you're going to do after school? Any plans? There's a baseball game. Is there a softball game?
Yes.
Softball game too. So there are plans. We all have plans that we make. But how often do our plans turn out as we plan them? Sometimes they turn out, right? Sometimes we have to work toward them a bit. A good Christian work ethic goes a long way. But that virtue of a good work ethic by itself can get you into trouble. To that work ethic also needs to be added the virtues of humility and trust. Humility to know that you are not the masters of your own destiny. And the trust to recognize your Lord as the one who directs your paths. Keep this thought in mind as we read our text from John 14, beginning at verse 1, where Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There are some lessons in life that once you learn them, you pretty much have them down. Riding a bike comes to mind. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you can go years without riding a bike, get back on one, and lo and behold, you know how to ride it still. But there are other lessons that once we learn them, we have to continue learning them again and again and again. And the lesson of our text is one of those kinds of lessons. Because no matter how often we make plans for the future, no matter how often we work and strive to bring about those plans, no matter how often those plans fall apart, we still end up finding ourselves committing the idolatry of fear, frustration, and anger when things do not go the way we want them to go. And this is the case for the disciples here in the text I just read. 3 years previous to Jesus speaking these words, the disciples were doing whatever it was they were doing at the time, being fishermen, tax collector, whatever else they were. No doubt planning their lives the way we all do and thinking that they had everything under control. Lo and behold, here comes Jesus. And suddenly, all their plans were out the window. Now they were going to be followers of this rabbi from Galilee. And as they followed him for 3 years, they saw things they never thought they would see. They did things they never thought they would do. And they came to believe that this Jesus was the promised Messiah. But then it was in connection with that, all of that, that they started making new plans. They had plans for a new kingdom of Israel, plans for greatness, plans for which of them would be the greatest. But then those plans too were going to come crashing down, as in just a few short hours from the time Jesus spoke these words, they would see him arrested and brutally treated and then crucified, dead and buried. They made plans. They didn't work out as they anticipated. They made more plans. And what happens? They become frustrated, sad, maybe even angry. And so Jesus speaks to them here in our text. Do not let your hearts become troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That means more than just believing that God exists. It means more than believing that Jesus is a man who walked on the earth and teaches some good moral teachings to live by. It means trusting in God as your Father, the one who knows best. Trusting in Jesus as your Savior, the one who has higher plans for you. Different plans, maybe even, than the plans that you make. And what are his plans? He tells us, very specifically, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? This is Jesus' plan for you. His plan for you is to be in heaven. And maybe that's a different plan than what you have made for your life for this summer, or maybe for your career, or maybe even for your retirement. And at times it's going to seem like Jesus' plan for your life is nothing more than an obstacle for you. Because how many people plan on something, some disease afflicting their body? That kind of gets in the way of having a plan of a rich and carefree life. How many people plan on ending up in a nursing home? How many people plan on experiencing a sudden and tragic accident? Those aren't the kinds of things we plan. They're different from what we plan. Does that mean that everything's out of control in our lives? No, it means that our Lord Jesus, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, is bringing his plan to fruition in our lives. He's always working behind everything that appears to be bad and harmful to us. He's working to bring us to be with himself in heaven. And here's the difficult thing. Here's the difficult part of this. Jesus' plan often includes the very unexpected. Now put yourself in the disciples' shoes and you'll see what I mean. What were their hopes? Their hopes, again, was for this new kingdom of Israel, and that they would have an instrumental part in all of that. Well, Jesus had different plans. His plan took him to the cross. His plan included suffering on his part. His plan included death. That doesn't sound like much of a plan, does it? Until we listen to what the Scriptures say about this death and realize that through it, God has worked the most remarkable plan for each of our lives. Through this suffering, through this death, God has taken away every sin that we've ever committed. Yes, even that idolatry where we set up our own selves as Lord. God has opened up to us that home that He has prepared for us in heaven to be with Him. And Jesus says, therefore, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Which means, believing in Jesus, that the cross becomes a reality in our own lives too. Now for us, a cross is a nice decoration, a shiny object to hang on a necklace, or to put up in a church. But a cross is an instrument of suffering. And God used that instrument of suffering to bring about the greatest good. And He will use whatever suffering He allows in your life. That is, those times when your plans don't turn out the way you have them planned. He will use those to bring you to be with Himself in heaven. A week or so ago, I was watching television with my youngest son, and a commercial came on. It was Intel. At the end of the commercial, it says, Intel, building a better future. And he responded right away, that's silly. Only God can build a better future. He's learned that lesson at an early age. But you know what? He's going to have to learn it again and again. The same, each one of us has to learn it again and again and again and again until that day when all the learning will be over and we will see for ourselves this wonderful plan that our Savior has had for our lives, one that ends up in eternity with Him in His Father's home. God grant it to us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn number 437.
Many thanks to Pastor Gant for bringing us the word today, father of a couple of our students. He spoke to you about your plans and God's plan for you in a wide sense. Today I want to talk to you about your plans in a narrow sense just for today. Please plan ahead.